friend of ours, good friend of mine. Let's just pray for you before you give us some golden nuggets, like I like to say. Father, we thank you so much for Nathaniel. We thank you for his heart, and we pray that you would speak through him tonight and challenge us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'm just going to go and grab this little stand and hopefully not drop my laptop in the process. There we go. We managed it. There we go. First of all, just to say, it is one all. So can we have that? We prayed. It works. I'm going to level with you. So if England score, Matt is going to let us know, and then we're all going to cheer. And we're all going to celebrate. These guys will know. So, you know, don't worry too much about being on your phones. Matt will let us know if England score. If France score, I don't want to know. We only want a message of hope. We don't want to know that. But also, B-Real's already gone off. So again, don't worry about that. You don't need to look at that. It's all good. So I'm just going to introduce myself. I know a lot of you probably already know me a little bit. But for those of you who don't, I am a youth worker at Life Church. There's some wonderful and not so wonderful photos of me as well. I'm engaged to the wonderful Sarah, who I've brought along tonight. At the back, keeping warm. There's a random picture of me in a dinosaur because I thought it was cool. And there's even some familiar faces in that bottom one. You recognize. Ethan's in there somewhere. Jed's is in there. Ezra's hiding at the back. We've got a good crowd. Yeah, and I'm 24, and I'm a youth worker at Life Church. And I also want to introduce you to, on the next slide, there is a wonderful... this is just a random puppy I found on the internet. I feel like... it's a golden retriever puppy. It is. I feel like every other guest speaker like either has like a baby photo they want to show off of their cute kids or a pet. I didn't have that, so I wanted some sympathy points before I dive in. But anyway, so tonight I want to share just a little bit of a kind of snippet of kind of my experience kind of growing up in church and kind of the lessons and kind of like some of the things that I've just learned from that. And I know a lot of the times when they kind of like share their stories, they've kind of got these really kind of amazing stories where maybe they've kind of fallen off the rails and into this kind of crazy life. You know, sometimes it's involving like crime and all these like terrible things that they've done and how God saved them from that. Or it's been like the other end where they've kind of been into like all these different countries and kind of experienced like God's ministry there. I'm just going to flat out let you know, my story is not like that. I have got quite a boring story. It's not full of plot twists. It's not kind of full of anything exciting. But it's just a story of how God can take even the kind of most average people and can use them. I just wonder, has anyone else kind of felt like they've walked into a room and kind of felt a little bit out of place before? And has anyone kind of felt like they're a little bit of an imposter? Like maybe at church, maybe at school, where you're kind of like, you're just waiting for someone to kind of catch on and for people to find out that you don't really know what you're doing. Sometimes, even now, that's a little bit how I feel sometimes. I'll kind of be up here at the front, and sometimes you're just waiting for someone to kind of call you out and kind of be like, actually, I don't really know what I'm doing. And kind of growing up, that's how I felt. You know, I grew up in church, and I wasn't really sure where I fit in. You know, one thing that seemed to be talked about quite a lot, though, was like your gifting and your calling. It felt like everyone was kind of obsessed and wanted to know, like, what were your gifts? You know, what was your calling? Where did you kind of fit in? Where were you meant to serve in church? Where were you meant to have your kind of calling in life? And, you know, I couldn't play any instruments. I couldn't sing to save my life. I was never kind of going to be able to lead worship and was always really jealous of those that kind of could sing and kind of do those things. I wasn't particularly great with words. I'd kind of stutter and stumble a lot. I was kind of terrified of speaking at the front of church. And, you know, I was really scared to talk to my friends about Jesus as well. I was a pretty average kid. You know, my grades at school were all pretty average, not the best, not the worst, just sort of in the middle. I wasn't the loudest kid. I wasn't the quietest kid, just somewhere in the middle. I wasn't sporty. I wasn't the geekiest kid. I was just kind of in the middle of it all and wasn't really sure what I was meant to be doing with my life. And if I'm honest, I used to get quite jealous of other people. I'd see other people who were like ridiculously talented and would be leading worship and just want to be that. Does anyone else know of someone who seems to be really good at everything? Can anyone think Has everyone got that person? Maybe it's a sibling. That's more annoying when it's like your older brother or sister, or sometimes the younger one. I feel like it's even worse, who just seems to have it all together. Who, you know, we all know that one person who seems to be able to play every instrument, is super smooth talking. They're just the most charismatic person. Dan Tarver's not here, so I can call him out. Dan Tarver is that person in this group. Or maybe that person at school that always seems to get the best grades, even though they never revise. They're that one person who's like, oh no, what if I don't get an A in this thing? And every time they get an A star, every time, without trying, they get it. And actually, that can be really hard when you feel like you're trying so hard, but you're not really sure what you're kind of good at or what your place is. And everyone else seems to kind of know what their gift is, and you have no idea what yours is. So I thought we would turn to a wonderful and kind of sacred text and look at Encanto to help us kind of do this. Who's seen Encanto? Come on, more boys need to admit that they've seen Encanto. Really? This is disappointing. Right, lads, I'm proud of you guys. Well done. And well done over here. So, for those of you who haven't seen Encanto, basically, we're going to go through the kind of like family. There's a family, each one of them's kind of got a different gift. So, first of all, we have got, I'm going to butcher all the names, I'm just throwing it out there. So, we've got Isabella. So, she's like the kind of perfect, typical kind of Disney princess. She kind of can grow perfect flowers. But what we also see with each one of them is like they have this gift, but there's also this kind of insecurity that they struggle with. So Isabella like grows these perfect flowers. She seems like the perfect princess, but she actually really struggles with the weight of that kind of expectation to be perfect. And then we have Luisa. How do I butcher this? It's been a while since I've seen Encanto. I mostly just sing along. Super strong. But she also kind of carries everyone else's burdens and doesn't actually have time to rest for herself. She's that kind of typical overworker. She's always kind of doing things and never actually has time to relax herself. And then we've got Dolores. See, there we go. And she's the one that has like this super gift of hearing. Like she listens to kind of everyone else's secrets. But then she's also got that burden of kind of knowing a bit too much. And then we've also got Bruno. We don't talk about Bruno. Let's move on. And then we've got Mirabella, who is kind of the one that I feel like I related most to. And this is the kind of reason I kind of brought it up. It's kind of one I think I reflect on. She's the person who doesn't have a gift. And yet kind of in that story, you know, although she kind of like feels like really left out and feels like really insecure of that to start with, actually she's the one that's the kind of kindest. She's the one that kind of is keeping the family together and actually helps the others in kind of encouraging them in their gift. But also kind of recognizing it's okay to kind of struggle with the insecurity and the weight of that as well. And actually, kind of looking at this, I also recognize that this actually happens in the Bible quite a lot as well. And I was kind of like, when I started to read the Bible a lot more when I was younger, I kind of discovered that actually most of the kind of people that I would look up to and we'd kind of hear these great kind of children's story about, we kind of missed a lot of the part of it. A lot of these people kind of weren't really that perfect or kind of had their own kind of imperfections. So I'm going to play a little game of Bible CVs of people who you probably shouldn't accept. They really shouldn't have got the job based on what they did. So first one, we have Moses. So, you know, there's some good things. He was good at not getting eaten by crocodiles when he was a kid. He had some banging tunes with Prince of Egypt, if you've seen it. He's also not good with words. Like, God comes before him and he's like, I don't know what to say. I'm terrible. Send anyone else. I'm scared of speaking in public. He's a bit of a scaredy cat, if I'm honest. There's plenty of times he kind of runs away, does some stuff in Egypt, runs away as far as he can get, kind of lives in solitude for a bit. There's also that whole murdering an Egyptian thing, which is a bit questionable. He's not the person I'd send in for a conflict dispute. God asked him to go before Pharaoh to kind of ask to release the people. Last time he tried to intervene in a situation, he ended up killing someone. He's not really the perfect person for the job, and yet God uses him. Next person. We have Simon Peter. Again, you know, he has some good things as well. He has faith in Jesus. He also manages to walk on water for a bit, which is a pretty cool feat. You know, he begins to sink like a stone afterwards, but he's also a bit arrogant. He's that kind of, does everyone have that one guy in the friendship group who just kind of is a bit of a big mouth and kind of always like means to do the right thing, but just kind of gets it wrong. Like well-intentioned, but they kind of speak out and it's like, shouldn't have said that. I was a bit insensitive. That was a bit wrong. He's kind of that guy. He's not got the best job in the world. He's not really qualified for the role of a disciple. He's just a fisherman. There's also the whole denying Jesus thing. Again, bit of a black mark. Not great. Next one, David. So again, David, you know, he's good at music, good at poetry. He's also kind of the runt of the family. He's the smallest one. He's kind of the weakest one. Not really ideal when he's called to be a king. He's kind of a bit weak. You know, he's just a shepherd. He's kind of got an ordinary, boring job. And again, there's the whole kind of adultery and murder thing, which, again, we'll kind of gloss over. It's kind of worrying sometimes when you look at, there's quite a lot of inspirational Bible characters who have kind of murdered people. It's a bit questionable. If you take one thing away, I'm not saying murder's okay. Murder's a bad thing, just to summarize. But God uses these people. God uses people who are flawed. He uses people who have done wrong. He uses people who have messed up. But he also uses people who seem to have no skills or seem to have no gifts. And actually, God doesn't call people because of their skills. He equips those that he's called. So I just want to repeat that. Like, you know, God doesn't call people because of your skills. He equips those who he's called. So if he's called you, he will equip you. It's not because of the skills and talents that you've got now that God's going to choose and use you. It's on God. It's not on you. Now, God doesn't give gifts because of our talent or our worth. It's not about us. It's not about what we've done, but about God's love for us. I just want to stop and ask you, when was the last time you have either said or heard any of the following things at Christmas? Sorry, Grandma, I didn't get you a Christmas present this year because you always get me the jumper I dislike. Anyone ever said that? No? What about, sorry, we didn't give you a Christmas present this year, Dad. Sorry, we didn't give you a Christmas present this year, son. Your team only came third. Anyone else? What about, sorry, Dad, I didn't give you a Christmas present this year because you're a terrible cook. Any of these things? No? Presents aren't given because of what the recipient has done. You don't kind of give a gift because that person's kind of earned or deserved it. You give it because you love that person. It's based on the love of the giver. You know, God isn't Santa. He hasn't got his naughty and nice list. He doesn't give us gifts because we've earned it or deserve it or are owed it, but out of his love and grace and mercy. It's not about us. It's not what we've done. It's about God. I just want to say it's important to understand, you know, at this point, you know, if you feel like you haven't got a gift and you're not sure what it is, I'm not saying that God doesn't love you and that, you know, you've not got a gift and God doesn't love you. We'll come back to that in a bit, but I just want to kind of like summarize. You are loved by God, and we'll kind of touch on that a little bit. But if you know what your gift is, and you know, this might come across a little bit harsh, but ultimately it's not about you. You know, since those kind of like insecurities that I used to have, you know, I've also kind of experienced the other end where you kind of know the things that you're good at, and actually sometimes you can become a little bit arrogant with it. And sometimes you can think those gifts are about you and you think, actually, I'm quite special and important because I can do this really well or I can do that really well. And actually, God hasn't given you a gift to make you feel special or to feel like you're better than other people. But actually, that gift is given to you to bless and to serve others. That gift carries a responsibility to use it and not to waste it. And when you're given a gift, you use it. When I was younger, and I don't know, I think all of you are probably a little bit too young to remember these bad boys, but I was given Beyblades as a kid. Yes! These lads, if nothing else, I'm excited these guys remember. Let it rip. These were great. If anyone doesn't know what that is, like, it just sounds so weird now. They were great. But I took these bad boys everywhere when I was a kid. Anytime you were like at the back of the church service and a bit bored as a kid, you would be, you know, playing those with anyone else who had them. You take them to your family's house when everyone's doing the like family gatherings and you're just a bit bored. I use them all the time. And actually, when you have a gift, if God's given you a gift, it's to use it. It's not to just kind of hide it away and just kind of forget about it. It's to use. And it's to use and bless others. It's to encourage other people. That's what it's there for. But also remember that that gift comes from God and to stay humble and obedient to him. You know, I think obedience is often more important than the kind of skill that you have when it comes to following Jesus. And, you know, if you're still searching for your gift and kind of what your place is, whether it's the server in the church or kind of what God's calling in your life is, I want to encourage you to not kind of get caught up in comparison as well. You know, when we compare ourselves to other people, we can often get jealous. Actually, that stops us from celebrating the gifts that other people have. And it robs us also of the joy of our own part that we have to play in God's kingdom. We stop focusing on what we can do, and we start thinking about, I really wish I could do that. And we try and fit in everyone else's shoes apart from our own. And you know, 1 Peter says this. It says, as each has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards in the grace of God. Everyone's been given a gift, a special gift, but we're not to try and use someone else's gift. We've got our own gift to use. And can I just say how encouraging it is to stand here, like, each time we're together and to see so many young people, like, in the worship band and leading games and doing the hosting. And let's really encourage and build these guys up. It takes a lot of guts for people like Hannah and John leading worship again, first time. It takes a lot of guts to be up here in the band and at the front. Let's really encourage these guys. But let's also remember that each one of you has a part to play. Some of them might be more public. Some of you, your gifts might be used more kind of privately in kind of small conversations with other people. But actually, each one of them glorifies God, whether they're seen kind of publicly or whether they're kind of seen in smaller contexts. And sometimes gifts take a while to realize. You know, sometimes we have to work on things and to be patient and endure. You know, sometimes we have to try out a lot of different things. Sometimes God calls us to things at different points. You know, I used the example of Moses earlier. He was 40 when he was called to kind of go before Pharaoh. That's 40. That's as old as like Matt and Cheds. That's pretty long. That takes a while. You know, if you're in that place, pray and seek advice for others. But also be prepared to kind of be humbly obedient to God. Regardless of whether you know what your gift is for yet or what God wants you to use you for yet, God still wants to use you. And he wants to equip you for what he's calling you to. And you know, I said earlier that God kind of gives gifts out of love and that you might not be sure kind of what your gift is, what kind of gift God has given you yet. But I can think of one that kind of beats all the other ones, and he's kind of given it to each and every one of you. And that's the gift of Jesus. And I know that's like the Sunday school answer to just say, Jesus is the best gift you've ever got. But in Ephesians 2, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not that of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. And actually, you know, this is like the most incredible gift because it doesn't matter kind of who you are or what you've done. It's not based on what you think your worth is. It's not based on your skill. It's not based on your ability. It's not based on what your kind of social standing is. It's not based on any of that. It's based on God giving you a gift. It's based on God's love for you. You don't have to earn it. It's already been paid for. It's a gift. And it's the offer to be forgiven for all the things that you've done wrong, all of the failures, all the mistakes, all the hurts. It's the offer of a new life. It's the offer to be a part of something that is greater than you and me. It's the part of something that's just more than a kind of boring everyday 9-to-5. It's to be part of God's kingdom and building that. To be a part of an eternal life with him, a relationship that is ever growing. To be a part of God's family, that it doesn't matter kind of what your friends or your family or what other people have said kind of over you, but actually God declares you a child of God, to be loved unconditionally, but also to be changed and transformed. And that gift isn't dependent on how smart you are or how good with words you are or anything like that, but based on how loving, merciful, and compassionate God is. So tonight, I want to offer kind of a few kind of different opportunities to kind of respond. And I'm aware a few people are probably in a few different kind of camps here. And, you know, for those of you who maybe feel a little bit lost and you're not quite sure what your gift is, you're not really sure where you fit in the church or kind of even like with your relationship with Jesus, I just want to encourage you to find a leader, find a friend and kind of ask for prayer and to talk through those things. Yes, tonight, but also kind of as an ongoing thing as well. Don't just kind of, it's not necessarily just going to be this is a one-time kind of thing and then we're going to go away and I'm going to feel like really secure and happy and know what it is. Some of these things take a long time to kind of figure out. And I'm also aware there can be a lot of hurt and disappointment sometimes in that. You can look at other people and think, they've got it all together. I'm not sure where I'm going to be. And I feel confused and I feel lost. We need other people to come alongside us and to help and to guide us in that. So if that's you, I really want to encourage you to bring other people alongside you and to kind of include them in that. And for those of you who know what your gifts are and are kind of confident in using them, I want to encourage you to use them. You know, be bold in that. Use them to bless and encourage other people, but also be humble. You know, don't use them to show off, but always kind of be remembering that they're to serve and honor God. And lastly, to those of you who maybe feel like you kind of need to accept Jesus as that gift, you know, whether that's for the first time or a reminder, I want to encourage you to just come and ask one of the leaders to pray with you. Maybe that is, you know, to kind of unpack what that truly means, because that is such a massive thing. And that's such a life-forming transformation, but it's the best decision and the best gift you will ever receive. And I'd love to encourage you to approach one of the leaders and to get them to pray for you. I'm just going to ask the band to come back up and to just kind of like play in the background. And we're just going to kind of move into a time of worship. And it's kind of an opportunity to kind of think and reflect. Maybe kind of straight away you know where you're kind of at with that. Maybe you need a bit of time to kind of think and just kind of reflect on what's heard, but also on the kind of words they're singing. But maybe you just want to respond in kind of praise as well. Maybe you just want to kind of like celebrate what Jesus has done. Maybe you want to celebrate, you know, the fact that we can have a relationship with him. And actually, you just want to celebrate in praise and worship. So I'm just gonna ask if you wanna stand and just kind of take a moment. I'm just going to pray for us, and then we're just going to move into a time of worship. Yeah, Father, I thank you at this time. We can remember the gift of you sending Jesus down as a baby on this earth, Lord, that because of what you did, because of what you've done, that we now have eternal life with you, that we can have a relationship with you, that when we were far away, Lord, that you chose to send your son to die for us because you love us, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that whether we feel lost and confused, Lord, or whether we are kind of confident in kind of doing your will and your work on this earth, Lord, I just pray, will you come alongside us, Lord, right now? Will you draw close? Will you speak to us? Will you speak into our hearts and our situations, Lord? And will you draw near to us, Father? Amen.